we stand a short prayer. Loving God, as we take time now to reflect on the words of your Son and on the faith of this woman, help us to learn from the teaching of Christ and work in us that same faith that she had. For Jesus' sake, amen. Please be seated. You sometimes find Christian faith in very surprising places. A few years ago, I heard a missionary talking. He explained how he had decided to move with his wife to one of the poorest places on earth. An enormous rubbish dump in the Philippines, a square mile in size, where tragically thousands of people lived, ignored by the rest of the world, trying to eke out what living they could, picking through the rubbish. The missionary expected to find no Christian church at all in that desperate place. He thought he would be going there with his wife to start from scratch. But he said when he arrived, he found that those people might have been forsaken by their government, they might have been forsaken by the international community, but they had not been forsaken by the Lord. Because he found in that place dozens of vibrant churches meeting with a deep and humble faith in Christ. And so rather than starting from scratch, starting churches, he decided to start a school to teach their children and to train their ministers. You often find Christian faith in surprising places. We see the same thing in our gospel reading. Here in the middle of Matthew's gospel, Jesus has withdrawn from Israel to the region of Tyre and Sidon, to the north of Israel. And there he meets a Canaanite woman. She's not of the people of Israel. She's from the Canaanite tribe, traditionally enemies of God's people. She probably grew up not with the Old Testament scriptures to prepare her for the coming of Christ. She grew up instead with the Canaanite traditions of worshipping idols, even at times human sacrifice. And yet we find that this woman had great faith in Christ. It's such a refreshing surprise. Jesus has just left the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Now they had every religious advantage, and yet they had no faith in Christ. They were rejecting Jesus because he did not follow their customs. And yet here we meet a Canaanite woman of great faith, with a humble trust in the mercy of Christ. So let's examine her faith this morning, that we might be inspired to trust Jesus in the same way that she did. The first thing we see about her faith is that she recognized that Jesus was full of power and mercy. She'd recognized something about Jesus, that he was full of power and mercy. So in verse 22, she comes to Jesus crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Her daughter was in the grip of some terrible evil, and in her hour of need, she recognizes that Jesus is the one who can help her. The title Son of David she uses refers to the one promised in the Old Testament, a descendant of King David, but who would have all the power of God. A promised Son of David is spoken of in our famous Christmas reading from Isaiah 9 in the Old Testament. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom forever. Well, this Canaanite woman has recognized that Jesus is that promised Son of David who will be called Mighty God. I heard of a man who was invited to the Nobel Prize ceremony in Stockholm one year. And at the reception, he was chatting to an elderly gentleman. He asked this senior chap if he came to Stockholm often. He asked him if he was interested in science. In the end, he asked him why he was at the reception. The elderly gentleman said, "Well, actually, I'm the King of Sweden, and I'm here to award the prizes later in the ceremony." Well, that's the stage that the Pharisees and teachers of the law were at this point in Matthew's gospel. They had the King of Kings right there with them, but they didn't recognize him. But this Canaanite woman did. I guess she must have heard about Jesus feeding the 5,000, about him healing the sick. She would have heard report of him opening the eyes of the blind. She would have heard how this man was restoring everything that was broken in the world. And it's like her eyes were opened. She recognized that Jesus was no ordinary man. He was the promised Son of David, who would be called Mighty God, full of power and mercy. This is the foundation of the Christian faith still today, recognizing who Jesus is. You see, the foundation of our faith isn't liking church services, moving as they can be. The foundation of our faith isn't even wanting rules to live by, helpful as that can be. No, the foundation of the Christian faith is recognizing that the reason Jesus had such an unparalleled effect on human history is that he's no ordinary man, but the promised Son of David, who will be called Mighty God, come into the world full of power and mercy. It's the first aspect of this woman's faith. She recognized who Jesus is. The second aspect of her faith is that she persevered even when Jesus didn't answer. Do you notice that as we heard the lesson read? Even when Jesus didn't answer her, she persevered in asking for his help. So she comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." But in verse 23 we read, "Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said." Now when Jesus was raised from the dead, the first thing he did was send his disciples to all nations that they might hear of him. But at this stage in his earthly ministry, he was focused on the lost sheep of the house of Israel, who had been promised a savior. And I think the strangest thing about this reading is how mean Jesus seems to be to the woman. How harsh, how unkind he seems to be towards her. But don't forget, Jesus healed this woman's daughter, and he holds her up as an example of great faith. Jesus really loved this woman. I suppose he knew how deep her faith was, and he tested her faith to give her the chance to show him, to show the disciples, to show herself how real her faith in Christ was. He's not being mean to her. He really loves her. I don't know why Jesus remained silent to start with. It must have tested her faith, but it gave her the chance to show that she really trusted Jesus. Even though he seemed disinterested, she knew that he was full of mercy, and so she persevered in asking him for help, and in due time she was answered. Now we all have times too where we ask Jesus for help, and he seems not to answer us to start with. Perhaps we ask for his help in a struggle we're facing in life. We ask for his help to throw off some sin that has ensnared us. Perhaps we pray for a dear family member and he seems not to answer. We don't know why, and it tests our faith. Well, this woman's example encourages us at those times. Even when Jesus seems disinterested, he is full of mercy. And we show our faith by doing what she did, by persevering in prayer, by keep on laying before Jesus the situation and asking for his help. We don't know how Jesus will answer our prayers. The timing is up to him, but he is full of mercy. When he's silent, we show our faith by persevering in prayer. We're told later in the Bible, in the book of James, The testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. It's at times when Jesus seems silent to our prayers that our faith is tested and that we learn perseverance. And it's at those times that a godly Christian character is formed in us. That's the second aspect of the woman's faith. She persevered in asking for Jesus' help, even when he did not answer at first. Well, we see one more feature of her faith. And that is that she trusted in Jesus' mercy, not in her rights. I think it's the most important part of this lesson. She trusted in Jesus' mercy, not in her rights. In verse 26, Jesus replied to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." What a strange thing for Jesus to say. What does he mean by saying that? Well, in Jesus' day, sometimes the Gentiles, those who weren't of the Jewish people, were called dogs because they were regarded as unclean. But Jesus is not trying to be rude like that here. In the original Greek, the word dogs is not the harsh word, it's the diminutive word. It could be translated puppies. Jesus isn't trying to be rude or harsh with her. He uses this word that means puppies. And he says it to make a point. An important point, and that is that just as a puppy or dog doesn't have the right to sit at the dinner table, so this Canaanite person doesn't have the right to Jesus' salvation. In fact, none of us do. And her reply is amazing. "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She's saying, in effect, "I know I don't have the right to your salvation, but your mercy is so huge that it will reach me anyway. Just as an enormous meal has enough crumbs to feed the dogs as well, so she knows that Jesus' salvation, his mercy, is so huge that it reaches even those who don't deserve it." You see what I mean? She's trusting in Jesus' mercy, not in her rights. None of us have a right to God's salvation, but in his mercy, it can reach us all. Now, when Archbishop Thomas Cranmer was writing our communion service back in the 16th century, he knew that it was so important that people were trusting in Jesus' mercy, not in their own rights. And so he wrote the famous prayer of humble access, still included in traditional communion services today. And his prayer of humble access refers to this very passage and to the words of this Canaanite woman. You may know that in that prayer we say, "We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy," referring to this very incident. And this attitude is a vital part of Christian faith. Sadly, many people approach God with the attitude, "Give me what I deserve." They think, "I've done these good things, I haven't done these bad things, I have a right to God's help." But friends, that is spiritually fatal. In reality, everything we have is a gift of God's grace. As those who've broken his law, we deserve his judgment. If I stand before God demanding my rights, well, I'm lost for eternity. But the wonderful alternative is to approach God with the same attitude that this woman shows us. To say to God, "I know I've sinned against you. I've no more rights to your salvation than a puppy has the right to sit at the dinner table. But I also know that your mercy is so big that it reaches even me." You see, Christ gave his life to pay for our sins so that we can come to God not trusting in our rights, but in his mercy. And as we do that, we find his mercy is so big, it reaches us wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever we've done. If we trust in Jesus' mercy, the arms of God will always reach us. So Christian faith is found in surprising places. That missionary was surprised and delighted to find so many churches of deep faith in that place abandoned by everybody else, the rubbish dump in the Philippines. And we are delighted, reading Matthew, to find in this Canaanite woman a deep faith in Christ. She shows us that nobody needs to be left out. And she's an example to us of what faith is. She recognized that Jesus is full of power and mercy. She persevered even when Jesus didn't answer her to start with. And she trusted in Christ's mercy, not in her rights. And she found, as we do, that in trusting in Christ, she put her trust in the right person, the one who could help her. May God grant and grow in us this same faith also. Amen.